Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brachos Daf Mem Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin toward the top of daf mem aleph. You'll notice two dots, five lines from the top. The Gemara opens with a Dibar Maskil quote from the Mishnah. The Mishnah that was back on Mem Omid Beis, where it taught Hoyu Lefonov Minim Harbe. A person had several different varieties of food item, fruits, let us say, in front of him. Rabbi Huda Oimer, Im Yesh Benehem Min Shiva, if amongst the fruits there is a type of fruit that was that Eretz Yisrael was blessed in, one of the seven varieties, Olov Humavarech. As far as priority is concerned, he shall make his bracha on that one. V'chachomim omrim mevorech al eze mehen shiyirtzeh. He has a choice and can make a bracha on any one he likes. On this omid of Gemara, we will notice an attempt to define the parameters of this particular Tanaic controversy. So we open up with Ulah. And as we said later on this Amud, there will be more opinions on this topic. Omar Ula, Machlokes b'shibir chosei and shavois. Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, do you give priority to the one of the Shiva Minim, or is it total choice up to the person who's eating? So that's when b'chosei and shavos, when all of the items have the same bracha. They are all, let us say, they're all borei pri ha'etz items. The Rabbi Yehuda savar min shiva adif. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that you give precedence to the one that Eretz Yisrael was blessed in, and by making a bracha on that, since it's b'chosei and shavos, that will exempt all the other fruits from a need for a bracha, so that you'll make your bracha first on the min shiva and then all the rest you can eat without making any further bracha. V'rabbonan savri min choviv odif. The Rabbonan hold that whatever you like, you make the bracha on. The Rashi says choviv odif. Eze shiirtzeh. The Masnisa, the expression of the Rabbonan in the Mishnah, eze shiirtzeh, equals es hechoviv olav mashma, the one that was most desirable to him. Avol, the Gemara continues, b'she'ein b'chusei and shavois, if you're dealing with fruits and vegetables, for example, where some of the items have a bori pro eitz bracha and some have a bori pro adoma bracha, then divrei hakol, everyone is in agreement, which essentially means Rabbi Yehuda will concede to the Rabbanon, mevorech al zeh v'chozer u'mevorech al zeh. You make a bracha on this one and then make a bracha on that one. Since one is not going to exempt the other, one being an Adoma, the other being an Eitz, one bracha doesn't work for both. At this point, there is no machlokes. Okay, as we said, this is Ula's opinion. We're going to see more about this, more opinions on this topic. For example, if you skim down to around the middle of the Omid, you'll notice maybe on our markings there are diamonds that appear at the second half of the Omid. So at that point, you can see the Gemara says, "Pligi bo Rabbi Ami v'Rabbitzchok Nafu Chadomer Machloikis b'Shibir Chosei and Shavois," and then the next diamond says, "V'Chadomer Af b'She'ein b'Chosei and Shavois Nami Machloikis." Even where the brachas are not the same, Rabbi Huda will still insist on making the bracha first on the borei pri on the shiva minim item. Let us go back to our Gemara, now that we have somewhat of a lay of the land. The Gemara asks, the end of the line, Meisvei. Hoyu lefon, we have a Tanaic source, and it says, Hoyu lefon of Tznon Vizayas. He has a Tznon, a type of, it's a borei pri adoma, we'll call it a vegetable. In modern Hebrew, the word Tznon is a radish. But in Gemara markings, we are not going to commit ourselves to translations of items, of food items, fruits, vegetables, or animals. Nevertheless, we have one thing is clear, that snon is an adoma, and vizayis, that is something we do know the translation of, clearly that is an olive, and that is a borei prio eitz, and it says in this source, mevorech al hatsnon upoter es hazayis. Now, this is a case of ein b'choseon shavois, and it says you make the bracha on the tsnon, you make the bracha on the borei prio adoma, and that exempts the zayis. Now, according to the teaching we had just before, if you have ein b'chosei and shavos, it's not dictated. You make the bracha on whatever you like. So this is a kasha on that which we were just taught. So the Gemara answers, this source doesn't reflect a situation of just two items of equal importance to you, and you are, in fact, able to choose whichever one you want to make the brachan. Here is a unique case, kishatznon ikar. The tznon is really the main thing that he wants to eat, and the zayis, the tznon is a type of vegetation that has a sharp taste to it. So, and that's what he wants to eat, but sometimes a person needs to reduce the sharpness in his mouth, so he eats something else. In this case, he eats the olive to reduce the sharpness. So the olive is only an accompaniment type thing. The Gemara says, if that's the case, ihochi, that it's tznon ikar, amos seifa, then state the seifa. Now, notice this is a long question, and we've marked it as such with a long question, marking the encircled kuf, a kushia, with a descending vertical dashed line. The seifa says, Rebuta omer, mevorech al hazayis, shazayis mimin shiva. On the seifa of this case, Rabbi Yehuda appears and he says, you shall make a bracha on the zayis because it is one of the seven varieties the land of Israel was blessed in. V'chi les lei Rabbi Yehuda ha disnad, does Rabbi Yehuda not hold if it's a case of ikar and tofel where the tznon is the ikar? Why would Rabbi Yehuda be telling you to make a bracha on the zayis, which is the tofel, which is the subsidiary item? Does the Rabbi Yehuda not hold from the Mishnah that says kol shu ikar v'imoy tfela mevorech al ikar potras atfela, that whenever you have main and subsidiary, you make the bracha on the main item, and that exempts the subsidiary. Now, v'chitei mahachinami delesli, you might try to say, that's right, he doesn't hold from that. After all, Rabbi Yehuda himself is a Tana, he can argue with that. Yeah, but it's not true, he does hold from it. V'hatanya, we have the following Tanaic source with Rabbi Yehuda featured. Rabbi Yehuda omer, im machmas tznon bohazayas, if the olive is coming only because of the tznon, he wants the tznon, and the zayas is just a drag-along. It's a schlep-along to reduce the sharpness of the tznon taste. Mevorech al tznon upoter zayis. Here, Rabbi Yehuda himself acknowledges, make the broch on the tznon, and that will exempt the zayis. So the question is, if you're going to try to say that the source that had tznon and zayis, and it dictates saying the brocha on the tznon first, these are two things with different brochas. How is it then in the Seifa that Rabbi Yehuda is saying make the bracha on the zayis? That would be very hard to preserve the answer given for the Reisha, namely Tznon Iker. Under those circumstances, Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't be telling you to make a bracha on the zayis, which is subsidiary. The Gemara answers, and this is a long answer. Notice how many lines are involved, again, with our long marking. La'olam b'tznon ikar askinan. We're sticking with that answer. V'chi pligi Rabbi Yehuda v'rabbanan, the controversy that we saw above in these Tanaic sources between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, b'mil sachriti pligi, v'chisuri mechaser v'ochiktoni. Their argument concerns a different situation, not where tznon is ikar, and the words in the sources are brief, or abbreviated. Chisuri mechaser means words where the text is abbreviated, so that in your mind's eye, words were left out, and if you want a fuller understanding of the matter, V'hochi Kotani, read the following Tanaic source, which has, we'll say, the fill-in, the missing words, or the missing ideas, to make it all make sense. And it's as follows. Hoyu lufonov tznon v'zayis. Mevorach al tznon upoter es hazayis. The Tanakhama says, you make a brocha on the tznon, and that exempts the zayis. Bamed v'murim, when do we say that? Kishat tznon ikur. That's when the tznon is ikur. That's your borei pri adama you'll make on the tznon. That will exempt the zayas, even though the zayas is a borei pri, but it doesn't need a brocha because the zayas in this case is subsidiary. Aval ein hatznon ikur. Divrei hakol mevorach al zeh v'chozer mevorach al zeh. And you see, this is added information, and this helps to support Ula's teaching above that. When there isn't a question of Iker and Tofel, but they're of both equal standing, you can make a bracha on whichever one you like. Ushne minim be'alma shebirchoseim shavois, two items that have the same bracha, then you have the machloikis. And by the way, that's what Ula said as well. He said machloikis b'shebichoseim shavois. So when you have two food items, two fruits that have, let's, they're both borei pri ha'etz, and one of them happens to be one of the shiva minim, now you'll see a machloikis. The Tanakhama says mevorech al ezum emshirta. Even though one of them is a shiva minim, you can make a bracha on either one, and exempt the other. Rabbi Yehuda Omer mevorech al hazayis shazayis mimin shiva. If you're talking about two minim and one of them happens to be a zayis, then Rabbi Yehuda will insist on your making the borei pri ha'etz on the zayis because it is one of the seven varieties Eretz Yisrael was blessed in. Pligi va Rabbi Ami Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha. These two Amoroyim argue, and they argue in the same topic that we have been dealing with till now. Chad Omar Machloikis b'shebichosein shavois, like Ula above, the Machloikis Tanoim Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is when the two or the several fruit items have the same bracha. They're all borei pri ha'etz. Rabbi Yehuda Sovar min shiva adif. You shall give precedence, priority to the min shiva, even though you don't necessarily like it the most. You make your bracha on that in order to exempt the others that are all borei pri ha'etz items. Rabbonon safri min chaviv adif. You are about to say, even though one of them is the min shiva, you make your bracha on the one you personally like the most. When the brachas are not the same, then everyone will agree, meaning even Rabbi Yehuda will concede that you make a bracha on whichever one you like the most. And that that is the one you make first. And the other item, which has a different bracha, so you make a bracha then on that, even if the second item happens to be one of the min shiva. So that since they ain't brachosein shavos, there's no real point in giving priority to one over the other because it's not going to help to exempt the other. The whole concept of giving priority up till now was only in order to which one shall exempt the other. So that in such a case, Rabbi Yehuda said, if it's a question of exempting the other, give precedence, or give priority to the min shiva. And the Chama said, give priority to the one you like the most. But if it's ein brichosei and shavos, so then the whole issue falls by the wayside, because you're going to have to make two brachos anyway for each one of the different items. The Chad Omar, af b'she'ein brichosei and shavos, nami machloikes. Even when the items, one is a borei pri ha'etz and the other one is, let us say, a borei pri adama item, you will still have this machloikis. So, bishlam olamad damer b'shebuchasein shavos machloikis. Shapir, according to the opinion that said, when the two items have the same bracha, then shapir means the machloikis makes sense. The issue being, which one is going to be the exemption fruit, that you'll make the bracha on it and the other will be fulfilled with the first item. So that if it's an issue of making of creating exemption for the other one, we see which one do you emphasize, the one you personally like, or the min shiva elam laman diyomar shein b'shein mochosein shavos pliki. But according to the opinion, it says that even when their brachas are different, one is ha'etz and one is adama, b'mai pliki, what's the basis, what's the reason for a machlokis? You're going to have to make two brachos anyway. So in such a case, it's not an issue of one exempting the other. So what's the what's the basis or the reason for a machlokas? Or better said, why in such a case would Rebbe Yehuda say, make a brocha on the min shiva? It's not going to exempt the other one. Amar Rebbe Yirmiyahu lahakdim. They're the basis of the machlokas, even though one isn't going to exempt the other, it's just a question of order. Lahakdim, which one do you do first? Granted, you'll have to do two brachas, but even so, it's a question of a lineup. Who gets online first, so to speak? And in that case, Rebbe Yehuda will tell you, even in that case, give the honor to the min shiva. The Omar Rav Yosef Itema Rebbe Yitzchak, call hamukdam b'posuk se mukdam lebracha. Whatever item appears first in this pasuk is first with regard to a bracha. Shenemar, and we have a unique marking around this, a firebox marking, because we're going to want to make reference to this pasuk a number of times as we go along in the Gemara, including the Gemara on Omid Beis. So in this particular pasuk, there's an order of the fruit of the food items that Eretz Yisrael was blessed in, and that is what dictates which one gets the first bracha. It says in the pasuk Shenemar Eretz Chita Usora, the Gefen Tein of Rimon Eretz Zeh Shemen Udvash, the land of you have wheat, barley. The Geffen is the grapes, Tena, the figs, Rimon, the pomegranates, Zay Shemen, olives, and finally Dvash are dates. So you see from this pasuk, as far as the Rebbe Yitzchak is concerned, the concept of order. That order, not only a matter of exemption, is something to consider, but also order in which you say brachas is something to consider. At this point, we should explain, first of all, the triangle that we saw around Rabbi Yitzchak on the side under our Mivneh heading. The triangle says, or indicates, Shnei Gishois LePosuk Eretz Chita Usora, two approaches to the use of this Posuk of the seven varieties. So Rabbi Yitzchak represents one use of the Posuk, namely order of items, order in making brachas. There's a bracketed section which continues quite a ways down. It goes actually to the number of lines down the next Omer, around seven lines from the top. There the bracket ends of on Omid Beis. The note on the inside margin indicates as follows. Hasograyim kan melamdim, the sograyim, the brackets indicate to us in this case, she etzem mahalach ha-gemorah istayim kan, the give and take of the Gemara ends right before the brackets. Mashim uva b'sograyim havigisha chilufis la'avonas ha-posuk. Within the bracketed section is simply an alternative approach to this pasuk. Namely, we're going to view the pasuk as teaching us something other than the issue of order of brachos. After the brackets, the Gemara continues with a story involving brachos on food items, but in departure from the usual use of brackets, which usually is for skipping purposes in order to maintain an easy flow of logic or of reading, here it's not for that purpose, but rather, as we said, the basic discussion ends right before the brackets, and now a self-contained piece of Gemara in the brackets. So, that having been said, we continue with the Gemara in the brackets. Upligo de Rebbe Chonin. The approach we just said with regard to the seven varieties mentioned in this pasuk, the approach taken by Rebbe Yitzchak is different than the approach to the pasuk taken by Rebbe Chonin. Yom Rebbe Chonin, kol ha-pasuk kulo l'shi'urin ne'mar. This whole pasuk is to teach me the rules concerning quantities and amounts. And what we do, as far as the markings, you can see double underlines, and as you skim ahead, you'll see the double underlines emphasize at each point one of the different food items mentioned in the pasuk. Will be going in order. legal reference is made with regard to each type of food item. Chita, disnan, the chita is wheat, and it has significance in the realm of a house that's afflicted with negoyim. We should point out that we're going to be a covering of a variety of different topics, because seven different topics is represented by the seven different food items. One is not connected to the other. So say, sit back and enjoy the Torah tour of different topics. The first topic, as we just mentioned, involves a house that is afflicted with tzaras. Upon entrance to a house like that, there's a chance of the person becoming tomei, as a form of tumas ohel. The rules here are different than ohel hames, for those who may be familiar with that. And is tumah going to be immediate or after a certain amount of delay time? So let us learn the source. It will spell it out. Hanichnas lebayis hamenugah, one who enters an afflicted house, afflicted with tzaras. We've broken the source down into several parts. You have part 1 and part 2, and under each part we have a little aleph and beis referring to two different items. So part 1, the kelev akseifa v'sandol v'taboisav biyodav. Here's a case where he is walking and he has clothing items that he's carrying, not wearing, but carrying. That's the kelev akseifav. He has clothing slung over his shoulder, and his sandola v'tabosav, his shoes and his rings, he is holding in his hands. Who the hain tamei and miyad, the person, he becomes tamei immediately, and the items he's carrying as well become tamei immediately. The details of this are based on psukim that Rashi elaborates on. We won't spend time on the proofs, but let us say that you can see that in the Rashi. Hoyolovush kelov v'sandolov biraglov v'taboisov betzboisov. Here he is wearing the items as they are supposed to be worn. His clothing on his body, his shoes on his feet, his rings on his fingers. Hu tomei miyad. Once again, the person himself becomes tomei immediately upon entrance to this bais hamenuga. The hein tohorin, the items, these, we'll call them the clothing items, remain tohor ad shishe b'chdei achilas pras, until he delays in the house, he tarries in the house the amount of time to eat a half a loaf of bread. Now, what kind of loaf? Tona paschitim velo pasorim, specifically wheat bread as opposed to barley bread. And Rashi says that wheat bread is consumed faster, necheles maher, it's easier to digest, to chew and swallow. And another point, mesiv v'oichlen belifton, he is reclining and eating it with a dip, which also indicates increased speed as opposed to someone standing and eating who looks from side to side. When one is reclining, so he doesn't have the ability to look from side to side, and it, therefore he ends up eating faster. So that's the time frame for tuma to set in on the clothing and that he happens to be wearing as opposed to carrying in. And it's based on chita, as we just indicated, the wheat. Now, Sa'ora, what's the reference of barley and dimensions and sizes and quantities? Disnan, the following source regarding Tumas Mace, the Tumah communicated by the dead. It says, Etzem Kisora, a bone the size of a barley grain. In other words, as long as it's not smaller than that, a bone from a dead human being. Kisora, the size of a barley grain, mitame b'magu v'masa, will communicate tumah through touching or through carrying or supporting it. The eno mitame boil, but will not mitame through by being in the same overhang. In the case of bones, you'd have to have much more by way of bones to create tumas ohel, but that is beyond our discussion now. But as far as we're concerned, we wanted to feature where the issue of barley comes into the picture. Te'eno is a fig, kegrogeres loitzoa Shabbos. It has to do with an amount for the carrying, the violation of carrying from one domain to another on Shabbos. So that if one is, let us say, carrying a foodstuff, the foodstuff would have to be the size of a fig in order for one to be guilty of hoitzoa of oichlin on Shabbos. Rimon, a pomegranate, kidisnan. This has to do with vessels and their ability to makabel tumah or lose tumah that they already have. So if the vessel develops a hole in it, depending on the size of the hole, the vessel will no longer be tamei. And Gemara here cites a source which takes into consideration there's a difference between personal vessels and vessels that are made for sale. Vessels that are made for sale will lose their significance, they'll lose their kli status with a smaller type hole. Here we're talking about personal items, personal vessels. Kol kli balei batim, the Gemara continues, Omud Beis, shi'uran berimoinim, kerimoinim. The hole will render the vessel a non-vessel, a broken vessel, hence losing its tuma capacity, if the hole is the size of a rimon, a pomegranate size hole. If the vessel has a smaller hole than that, the owner will still value the vessel for serving as a bowl for holding pomegranates. Even if it has holes the size of nuts, he'll still keep it, and hence it will still have vessel significance. Eretz Shemen. That's also in our pasuk. Here's a reference to olives or olive oil. Omar Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, Eretz Shekol Shireh Kezesim. The pasuk is telling us it's the land all of whose quantities are olive sized. The Gemara asks, Kol Shireh Sakadait Devoika Hanuch Diamoran. How can you say all of the quantities are measured in an olive form? What about all these others that we just got finished dealing with? Eretz Shereiv Shireh Kezesim. It's the land that most quantities that you run into in a halachic scheme of things, you'll find to be olive in quantity. In other words, most shilas, most questions involving quantity, you'll find the quantity is established at an olive. And you'll find most issues come up around things of an eating violations and things like that, and the shi'ur is kezias. Even though there are many other examples of halacha issues with different shurim, as we already learned, the common, the popular one is a zayas, and that's the reference in this pasuk to Eretz Zeishemen. Devash, the date, kikosevis hagasi b'mikipurim, the violation of Yom Kippur eating is if one eats the size of a large date amount of food. And you might ask, well, isn't eating violations measured in terms of a kezias? So truth be told, when it comes to Yom Kippur, the Torah doesn't tell you that it is also to eat on Yom Kippur. The Torah tells you that you have to afflict your spirit on Yom Kippur. And if the violation of affliction of spirit, of body, is a larger quantity than a date, an olive amount of food, the violation of inui nefesh is accomplished or is violated only if you eat the amount of food measuring a large date. V'idach. Now, this is a reference back to Rabbi Yitzchak, who said that the pasuk is teaching me order of is significance with regard to brachas. Doesn't he acknowledge that the pasuk teaches me quantities? What does he say about all of this? He says, "Hani shiurin behedya miksivi." When you look at this pasuk, which indicates the blessing of the land of Israel, does it say in the pasuk that these are quantities? It just lists a list of fruits. Elo midrabbanan. The idea of the quantities is something that is based on rabbinic tradition, on oral law. It's not in the pasuk. Ukro asmachta b'amo. The use of the pasuk to reflect these different quantities is what's called an asmachta. It's only a reference point, but it's not that the pasuk serves to teach me about quantities. Rather, Rabbi Yitzchak says the pasuk teaches me the pasuk's role is to emphasize the issue of order for the purposes of rules concerning significance. Rav Chisda, Rav Hamnuna, Havu Yasi B'Sudasa, the two great Rabbonim were sitting at a meal. Aisu, the Kamayu, Tamri, Rimoni, they were served Tamri, the dates, Rimoni, pomegranates. Shoko, Rav Hamnuna, Boruch, at Tamri, Bereisha. Rav Chisda, Rav Hamnuna, took the Tamri, the Dvash. In the pasuk, it's called Dvash. He took the date and made a bracha on it. He'll make a Bori Priya Eitz on that, and that will exempt the Rimon, which is also Bori Priya Eitz. Omar Le Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda asks Rav Hamnuna, why are you making a bracha on the date first, when in fact the date is the last item in the pasuk? Do you not hold from Rav Yitzchak's teaching that we saw just before, that the order plays a role in which item you choose to make your bracha on? He says, Lo sviro lemor lehod yom Rav Yosef itemor Rav Yitzchak. Do you not hold from that teaching that says kol amukdam b'pasuk ze koidem lebracha, whichever appears earliest in this pasuk, the pasuk eretz chitu sora, etc., gets precedence or priority in bracha recitation? And in our case, the rimon versus the date, rimon is in the number 5 position, and the date is in the number 7 position. Amar lei, Rav Hamnuna answers. There is a, if you look carefully at the pasuk, the word Eretz appears twice in the pasuk, and what we're more concerned with is not the location or the position in the entire pasuk, but the proximity of the item with regard to the word Eretz, Eretz meaning the land of Israel, which is closer to the word Eretz. So Rav Hamnuna says, Zesh Sheni Leretz, the date which I made the bracha on is only two, is in second position from the word Eretz, albeit it was the second Eretz in the Pasuk, but at that point it only said Eretz Zeh Shemen Udavash. You can always look back at the Pasuk that we fireboxed on Omid Af, and you can see it there, that the the date was the Dvash that was in the second position to the word Eretz, Vezeh Chamishi Eretz, and the pomegranate was in the number 5 position with regard to the first Eretz. So that is why I made the bracha on the dates first, because it's closer to the word Eretz. Amar Lei, Rav Chisda, upon hearing this brilliant response, he said, "Man yohiv lo nagri de parzala. If only we would be given iron legs, v'nishma'inoch, and we would serve you and walk with you always to be in your company, to hear your Torah and learn from you." Itmar hevi lifneim te'enim v'anovim besoch hasuda. People were eating, and they were served ta'anim, figs, and anavim, grapes, in the middle of a meal. And according to Rashi, they were served without the intention of accompanying the bread. In other words, they're not really part of the meal, even though timing-wise they were served in the middle of the meal. Omar Rav Huna, te'unin bracha lefneim, v'ein te'unin bracha lachreim. There will be an initial bracha needs to be made, because they are not considered subsidiary to the bread, but rather items that are on their own. They're not coming to be eaten together with the bread. However, there won't be a final bracha, because Birchas HaMazon will exempt them. There's a concept that you can see in Rashi, that Birchas HaMazon is if things that one eats in order to get a feeling of satiety, Birchas HaMazon exempts them. The Gemara continues, V'chein Omer Rav Nachman tunin bracha lifneim v'ein tunin bracha lachreim. So Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, it's important when you come to the halacha stage of things to realize there are two opinions that agree with this approach. First bracha, yes. Final bracha, no, because they're included in the Birchas HaMazon. Rav Sheshes Amar Tunin Bracha Bein Lifneim Bein Lachreim. Rav Sheshes disagrees and says a bracha is needed before and after. Shein Lecha Dover Shetoun Bracha Lefona Bein Toun Bracha Lachrov. There is no example of something that doesn't have that. There is no example of something that has a bracha before and is not going to have its own final bracha, Ela Pas Habor B'Kisnin Bilvad, with the exception of this special kind of, we'll call it, for our purposes, we'll call it cake-type bread, cake items, Pas Habor B'Kisnin. If we look in Rashi, it gives an elaborate explanation of this, but that is an exception, where it will have a bracha before, and it won't have a bracha afterwards. Rashi, Pasabah b'kisnin la'achar achila birchas hamazon, after the meal and the benching in the birchas hamazon, rikim lahavi kisnin v'enklos, people would eat these roasted grains, the fish yofin the leg and the b'alma, they're good for the heart, hani kisnin ma'ala liba, that's what it says in Erevin, umavian imoin pashin iloshim tavlin, and they would be brought baked goods, bread literally that was needed with spices. Kain ovliash shalonu, like our ovliash cakes. Pardon me. Lomas, they were sometimes made in different forms, like birds or trees. And they would eat a little bit of it. Since a lot of spices were added, and nuts and almonds, and one wouldn't eat a lot of it. Lo hitinua bracha me'ein gimol. There was no final bracha of the al hamichya required. Midi dahave a pas oris v'derech daminon bepirkin betchila borei minay mezonos p'sof v'lo klum, and where you make a bracha before a borei minay mezonos and no final bracha. We're going to limit ourselves to Rashi at face value. For those who are interested in our Tosfos shiur, we delve into this topic at greater length. But for our purposes, Rav Sheshis is telling us we have to focus. Let's put the pasabal b'kissin on the side. That's not the main focus of our discussion right now. But Rav Sheshis is emphasizing the bracha on the fruits brought in the middle of a meal. Rav Sheshis says they will have they're viewed as a really isolated experience with a bracha before and a bracha after, and namely Birchas Hamazon will not exempt them. And now a third approach, Upliga de Reb Chiya. This is all at odds with Reb Chiya. The Amar Rabbi Chiya, Pas Poteres Kol Minei Maichol, V'Yayin Poter Kol Minei Mashkin. Bread exempts all kinds of food items, whether the pre-brocha or the post-brocha, namely the brocha you make on the bread. The Hamotzi exempts all the pre-brochas for other food items that are in this meal, and the Brichas Hamazon you make after the meal exempts all these items, including the food served in the middle of the meal. The same applies to wine and beverages. Omar Rav Papa. Rav Papa rules on this topic as follows. Dvarim HaBoim Machmas HaSe'uda. Now, we should note that the Rav Papa's point lasts a number of lines. And we have a long point marking, Nun, that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line that you can see to the side of the Gemara text. We've broken down Rav Papa's ruling into Roman numerals 1 and 2 and subtopics. So, Hilchasa, Dvarim HaBoim Machmas HaSe'uda, things, items, food items that come to accompany the bread. The Rashi uses the term, Lalafis is a pas. So, food items like that, Besoch HaSe'uda, if they're brought in the middle of the meal, Ein Tunin Brocha Lo Lifnei V'lo Lachrem, no need for a brocha before nor after. They're included in the Hamotzi and the Birchas HaMazon. V'shelo Machmas HaSe'uda, Besoch HaSe'uda, items that are brought, there's called Lo Machmas HaSe'uda. Rashi says, Kegon Daisov Chinkuvu Tradim, these are Shalom Machmas HaSe'uda. They're not to accompany the bread, but they do provide satisfaction and satiety to a person. So, and they're brought in the middle of the meal. Those things are tunin bracha lifnehem. They will require a pre bracha. The ain tunin bracha lachrehem. So, even though you made hamotzi, you'll have to make a bracha on the daisa. Daisa is a type of cereal or porridge, which would be you'll have to make a separate bracha on that. But you won't have to make a birchas hamazon since they're coming for sova, for creating satiety. Liachar asuda. Now, the Rashi says on this. Dvorim harigiyun lovo achar sudan. There's quite a big discussion on this piece of Gemara that one will see in the Tosfos. As we said, the Gemara markings offers Amir Tzashem a Tosfos shiur, but in the context of our Daf Yomishu, we're sticking with Rashi. So he says this phrase of lachar sudan is a reference to things like fruits. These are things that one are commonly brought after a meal. In the event that they are, like the fruits people eat as dessert, are brought not after the meal, but in the middle of the meal, even if they're brought in the middle of the meal, so tunin brocha bein lifnehem, bein lachrehem. Shalu es ben zoma, mitnei ma omru, dvorim haboy machmas suda besoch suda einam tunin brocha lo lifnehem lachrehem. Why is it that things that come as part of the meal, as Rashi says, the lafis is a pas, don't need a bracha before nor after. Amalem hoyul upas potrosim. So he answers because the bracha that you made on the bread, the brachas that are bread related, exempts those items. Well, ihochi yayin nami niftere pas. Why is it that when wine is served in the middle of a meal, we make a bracha on wine? Why not say that wine, which is part of a meal, people drink wine in order to help them in eating the meal, so it's part of it's machmas asuda. Why doesn't bread exempt the wine? The Gemara answers shiny yayin, and we continue at the top of mem beis amud aleph. Wine is different. The goreim brocha liatzmo. Rashi says the goreim brocha liatzmo. Wine is so significant that bekama mekoyim usubah. Many times, many different occasions, we bring wine umavorchen alav when we make a brocha bori pir gefen over the wine vafal pishalo hoyut srichim lishtiyoso, even though we don't actually drink it. And there are several examples of that. And that's things like kiddush and brachas that we make at a chuppah, at a marriage, and havdalah, where a cup of wine is brought. You make a bori pri gefen, even though may ikar adin from the letter of the law, you don't actually have to drink it. So, being that wine has this significance, the bracha on the bread does not exempt it. This concludes today's Gemara section of Gemara Markings Daf Yomi. For those who are interested, our site offers a shiur on today's Daf Yomi, Tosfos presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.